TV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Workers in Baltimore have begun cutting the collapsed key bridge into pieces and moving out tons of debris. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
It has to be done because that is the only way to get into most of the port of Baltimore. And of course, it's important not just to the people and the workers of Baltimore, but to our national supply chains.
Heavy rain is making the cleanup tougher today. A large storm system that triggered weekend flooding in California is headed east. Weather Channel meteorologist Molly McCollum.
We'll see more snow in the Sierra, and it's really going to pile up in places like Yellowstone National Park.
Fast food workers begin earning minimum wages of $20 an hour today in California, the highest amount in the country. Cal State Bakersfield econ professor Aaron Hegde says it could affect customers.
Average cost at a fast food place might go higher to compensate for the higher wages.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Peace groups say they're disappointed by the budget Congress passed for fiscal year 2024. It includes cuts to humanitarian aid and support for civilians caught in violent conflicts.
Any violent conflict that's making headlines today, there are UCP groups that are working and very effective, have access that other traditional aid groups don't, are equipping and protecting civilians that often go overlooked and disproportionately feel the effects of this violent conflict.
Megan Rogers is with the group Nonviolent Peace Force. Donald Trump supporters in southeast Wisconsin are trying again to get a recall election against Republican State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Recall organizers filed the paperwork Thursday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers beat the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers completing a three-game sweep of the Mets with a 4-1 win in New York. RBI doubles from William Contreras and rookie Jackson Churio. Solid pitching from the bullpen and starter Colin Ray getting the win.
Ray, Hudson, and Piamps were flawless today, and Colin really worked through a big situation there. I don't know, the fourth maybe. I mean, the kid has been the unsung hero. He really has, and he threw a 5 great innings for us, and then Hudson went out there, and he was a rock.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy, the season home opener tomorrow against the Twins. NBA, the Bucks head to D.C. to play the Wizards tomorrow night. Guard Patrick Beverley talked about his decision to keep playing, even though doctors say he needs surgery on his right wrist.
I don't know. I got the news after something about a torn ligament. I felt okay. Obviously, you got to listen to doctors, so he contacted a hand specialist. Specialist said you got a torn ligament. She kind of shocked me for a minute. Threw me off. No way I was sitting out getting surgery. I'm going to play through it.
That's the Bucks' Pat Beverley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Monday on Nightlight, On Stage for Cancer performs live, and I'm joined by filmmaker Mar Garvey. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cloudy today, becoming breezy with some scattered rain developing by late this afternoon. Our high today, 44, with wind northeast at around 5 to 15, increasing to 15 to 25 by late this afternoon. Tonight, scattered rain, low of 36. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain likely and a high near 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, everybody, Todd Allball. Monday, noon to 2, it's the Cheese, Beer, and Radio Tour starting in Richland Center with Trigvi Olson. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
This agricultural princess, queen of all that moves. Nah, let's stick with Farm Babe. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Young.
On a soggy start to the month of April. Welcome in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. Glad you're joining us. Yeah, this rain is welcome. A lot of farmers going to be glad to see showers in the forecast. Don't forget, always looking for you rainfall reporters to chime in on what kind of precipitation you're picking up. Remember, our talk text line is toll-free, 877-301 Farm. That's 877-301-3276. You can call it or you can text it. Consider it your direct line of communication with me. We'll be communicating with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in just a moment. But like I said, it's going to be a soggy start to the week, to the month. Today, daytime highs not much better than about 49 degrees. Light rain this afternoon. Then we've got more rain in the forecast for tomorrow. Depending on where you are, it could be rain. It could be snow. Tuesday's high, no better than about 42 degrees. Wednesday, cloudy skies and 45. And it does look like we've got more rain building back in by the time we reach next weekend. Don't forget, next weekend is the Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association's annual performance bull sale. We talked about it on Friday with Alan Arndt. That's going to be Saturday at the UW-Platteville Pioneer Prairie Farm starting at 11 a.m. But remember, they also have that online opportunity via dvauction.com. dvauction.com. Go to wisconsinbeef.com to find out more about it all. Well, we're finding out more about it all this morning with Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn up in Eau Claire, joining us on a Monday morning to talk about how some schools are tapped into financial resources courtesy of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection to help kids understand firsthand where their food comes from. Jill?
It seems like there's been an awful lot of outreach going from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection and getting food into the schools. And the farm-to-school grants just came out. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. And Leva Strom School District is going to be receiving some grant money. And I have Sarah Eberhardt. She is the FFA advisor and ag teacher here at the Leva Strom High School. And we're going to talk about the grant. What goes into putting together a grant of this caliber?
Well, we have established our goals for our Sow to Grow project here at Leva Strom. When we were putting together the application, we really took into consideration what our goals are. Back in 2021, we started a school garden, and we've been working to expand that every year since then. This year, looking into having 5 raised beds with 4 potato barrels and many perennials, and then expanding into a traditional in-the-ground beds. We also are expanding for outdoor classroom so we can connect into our school forest area, as well as building a greenhouse so we really have an outdoor learning space for all students 4K through 12. With our school garden, we are able to work 4K through third grade this year in getting them to sow the garden and then also helping harvest it for our growing to be used into our school lunches, our weekend meals, getting fresh produce out into our community. We're also with the grant planning to incorporate hydroponic towers, expanding curriculum in all of the ag classes as well as the elementary, who have a really good ELA curriculum that was purchased several years ago. Being able to preserve some of the produce is going to be really helpful in kind of getting things out and making sure that we are being food secure here at Leva Strom.
You talked about the expansion of the garden and the grow towers, but you also have a greenhouse that's going to be coming into play, don't you?
Yeah, so part of the grant money is going to be used to build and actually the equipment that's going into the greenhouse. So our greenhouse total cost is about $50,000, and we are using the money to put in things like the heaters and then also some of the vent closing and some of the technology, the hoses that go into it, and that will really help us be having more efficient greenhouse. And that's one of the things we've been really trying to work on here at Aliva Strum is sustainability and making sure that we are looking forward to our future.
Went right into the grant to get this project going and get that connection between the farm and the school and producing food. But you've been working on this for a while, and you've got some other funds that are already hardworking at getting this going. Where did they come from and how far along are you?
Well, this year we were able to secure some different grants through Anne Marie. Compeer is helping with our outdoor classroom, Mayo Health System, as well as our, you know, farm to table that we got through DATCAP. We also were able to get some funds from CCU, a local bank, and we have been really thankful for the generosity of our alumni. They are planning to do some matching funds, which was part of the requirement for this grant.
And do you feel like having those funds already coming in is one of the main reasons that you are one of eight in the state to get this grant?
Yeah, we have had quite the vision. And our art teacher actually helped us kind of come up with a mock drawing of what we were looking for. It also really helps that we have a grant specialist here at Aliva Strum that is familiar with the grant writing process and able to take our ideas, our thoughts, and the things we're already doing and put them into, you know, some nice applications. She was actually the one that came up with the idea of coming up with vacuum sealers and the canning supplies and things like that, which we were already using budget money from the school from. So she was able to take some of those ideas that we were already kind of floating around and working with and putting them into the grant as well.
The grant money and the grant idea, how is that going to be implemented into curriculum from 4K up to grade 12?
Yeah, so when we started the school garden back in 2021, again, just like having all these goals in mind of what we wanted eventually, and it's been slowly moving in that right direction, having grant money is going to help us accelerate how quickly we can kind of accomplish our goals. But with the 4K, back when we started with planting of different seeds like lettuces, herbs, and things like that. And all the grades through second grade, including a pollinator garden, because the second graders learn about pollinators, we're able to kind of interconnect the things that they're already learning about with their curriculum and establish those things into the garden as well, kind of get their hands dirty. It's always fun to see the little kids just get their hands in the dirt and poke their fingers in to plant the seeds. And the high school classes that I teach also help with the younger grades and help them kind of establish some of those boundaries and putting in, and this is how we like create a row, and that way we don't have seeds kind of popping up everywhere. And it's been really good for those students as well, but the addition of the greenhouse will actually help extend our growing season. So instead of having basically from, you know, end of May, right before school gets out, until, you know, the end of September to grow, we'll be able to extend those growing seasons. Hopefully we can bring back the flower and like plant sale that we used to have. And then also maybe do some like poinsettias and things like that as well.
We've been talking all about the growing season and the produce. You've went from a farmer's market last year, and with the weather last year, if you had a farmer's market, you must have been managing it pretty well. Who's helping you out with the management? Because this can't be a one-person deal.
Absolutely not. Although I am very thankful. One of the things that the first year we struggled a little bit with the irrigation, because yes, our weather is unpredictable, and we were trying to hand water everything our first year on a fairly, you know, daily basis. But obviously there's no one here during the weekends. But we were able to implement actually an irrigation system where I have a timer. I set up all the runs. It's also really good because the students help me set those things up, and we're testing and, you know, troubleshooting and things like that, where we use drip irrigation so that we can conserve water. And that's actually one of the things we talk about with the sixth grade class is drip irrigation and just like water conservation, since it is such a valuable resource, even though we seem to think it's very abundant here in Wisconsin because we're very lucky, although it didn't feel so much last year, right, when we were in our drought. But we have lots of students that come in and help FFA members, whether it be the officers or members come in, and just those that are interested in plants and maintaining them. And, you know, it's really good therapy to kind of be outside and doing some work. And at the end of the day, if you can see literally the bountiful harvest that they've had and the success that we've had in our school garden.
It's always interesting to me to find out about these school projects that FFA advisors and ag teachers are so involved in with the help of DATCAP grants. And that was Sarah Eberhardt. She is the FFA advisor and ag teacher at Aliva Strum High School. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Originally the home of the Milwaukee Braves, now your home for the Milwaukee Brewers.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Say it with me, the Bucks in Six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM in Racine, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed. Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network believe awareness can make a difference during any season or any storm. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
We're springing into what's typically severe weather season. After some big swings with tornadoes and fire dangers during the winter, this is a good time to remind you to review your safety plan and show it off as a part of a Safe Place Selfie Day. First, what are your local weather worries? Tornadoes, flooding, wildfires? Second, where is your safe place from any of those weather hazards? Your basement or a shelter? Now, go take a selfie in one of your safe locations. Post it to social media, including hashtag Safe Place Selfie Day on Wednesday, April 3rd. It's a fun way to emphasize the seriousness of being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Don Rosen Morning Show, weekdays 6 till 8, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
I had a chat with them about how their growing season is looking for 2024. They are the producers of some of the state's best onions, for example. They also take a look at things like carrots and mint. So listen up this week for our conversation with the folks up at Gums Farms. And if you want to see some of the pictures from my visit on Friday, pop on over to Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, and you'll find them right there. Farmers are already in the decision-making mode for the growing season of 2024. And when you've got weather the way we've got it, well, your plans can change. We found out about prospective planting numbers, estimates last week from USDA. Jim Surway is a seed advisor with Bex Hybrids, and he said those numbers from last week pretty much match up with what he's been seeing from customers this week.
So we're seeing in the countryside at least a shift a little bit more towards soybean acres. We're seeing a little bit less of the corn-on-corn rotation, and then there's transitioning a little bit into soybeans, mostly because of the market prices that we're facing today. Most of the customers that I deal with are actually sticking. If they're strictly a corn-bean rotation, those acres really haven't shifted a whole heck of a lot. You'll see some certain farms that might plant a little bit more alfalfa forage mixes if they have a neighboring dairy that might be looking for some sort of forage-based feed. But other than that, your strictly corn bean guys are pretty much staying in rotation.
Jim Surway, he is with Bex Hybrids, and he says that the one thing he's stressing with all of his growers, think about insects this year. And when it comes to corn, you better be prepared for rootworms.
Rootworm pressure is probably going to continue to still be high, especially we do need a nice cold winter to kind of hopefully alleviate some of that issues, which we haven't gotten in the last few years. Other than that, I mean, last year was a low disease year, so I would anticipate we're going to see the ugly tar spot at some point during this upcoming growing season. So be diligent on scouting, and if you got any questions, ask your seed supplier about things that we can do to help you rectify and get through the market we're in today.
Boy, yeah, take a look at that bag. Thanks, Jim Surway from Bex Hybrids, one of the seed advisors out there making deliveries at this time of the year if they're not already done with that. Let's pivot now, find out about the weather we've got to begin this first day of April. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, along with us for our Compere Financial Ag Weather Update. Well, happy April 1st. You're no fool. Yuck, yuck, yuck. I'm here for the forecast. Hey, can you give me a little bit of a follow-up on what we talked about Friday for the Northwoods? Did they end up with quite a mess for the Easter weekend?
First, Pam, I suggest you stick with farm news and not go for the humor. Second, it wasn't such a big deal in northern Wisconsin. As we started the weekend, Ashland, Bayfield, Butternut all reporting about an inch or a little bit over, 2 inches at Hurley, 2.8 at Mercer. Anywhere further east, it just wasn't much of anything. So not the worst of weekends for wintry type weather, but things are a little different heading into this week. We're watching low pressure. It's going to make its way from Kansas across northern Missouri, finally end up over toward Indiana by Wednesday morning, with that low passing just to our south. Even before it, we saw a few sprinkles in central and southern Wisconsin yesterday, and I'd expect some rain developing today. Rain that could mix with some snowflakes yet late tonight. Maybe a little mix into the day Tuesday or Wednesday. Should be ending in the west already Wednesday. Still holding on in the central and east as we head into Wednesday, and then we dry it out a bit. Temperatures, unfortunately, remaining cooler than normal right down through midweek, finally beginning to moderate back up into the 50s. Those start to be our normals as we look toward the upcoming weekend, Friday or Saturday. So a little cloudy and wet here to get the week underway. Rainfall or snowfall not going to add up to any great measure. Less than a tenth of an inch of rain a day. If there's a little snow, maybe an accumulation, and that's about the most we'll talk about. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
At Compere Financial, we provide services based on your needs. So whether it's ag lending, crop insurance, or other financial services, or you're seeking industry expertise from a trusted advisor, we're here as a partner and member of your community that is defined by you. Contact your local Compere Financial team at 844-426-6733 or visit compere.com/you for your lending and other financial needs. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Our Compere Financial Ag Weather forecast is for a mostly cloudy day and some rain, especially this afternoon, less than a tenth of an inch. Oh, mid-40s today, northeast winds 5 to 15. Clouds and rain in the nighttime, maybe a little snow mixing in before daybreak. Down toward the low 30s, the northeast winds 5 to 15. Mostly cloudy Tuesday, a little rain again, maybe some rain and snow early, some rain later in the day, mid-40s, the north winds 5 to 15. And even Wednesday, mostly cloudy, very light rain or snow in the south and east, drying out in the west. Low 40s for highs on Wednesday. The north wind's a bit stronger, 5 to 15. They gust to 25. I'd finally expect sunshine statewide, trying to redevelop by Thursday, and those temperatures then slowly will warm toward the end of the week, Pam. So it starts out now that, you know, we are going to be dealing with some cloudy, damp weather here for several days, but the improvement comes around by the weekend. Certainly, finally, starts to feel a bit more like spring, and I think that'll get us all thinking again about getting out in those fields and how soon we can get there and safely do it.
All righty then, and don't forget, buddy, starting this afternoon, we're going to get our first of the season crop progress update. The numbers may not seem much for Wisconsin as of yet, but it is the sign of things to come. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it. Stu Muck with our Compere Financial Ag Weather Update. Compere Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural living. You can find their resources, an office near you, and more online at compere.com. Hey, I want to encourage you to check back on our website later today. That's MidwestFarmReport.com. We've got some breaking news, I guess you could call it, for the state of Wisconsin. We expect later today that the UW School of Veterinary Medicine will be announcing the new dean of the school. Last year, Dean Mark Markell announced that he would be stepping down as of later this spring, and the search and screen process began. So I understand that we'll expect an official announcement later this morning from the UW School of Veterinary Medicine on our next dean, and we will post it first at MidwestFarmReport.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Matt Nair on air.
The hearing surrounding the alleged Biden crime family didn't go very well for House Republicans. They got nothing.
They also have no way of moving this country forward. Every 45 days, we're on the brink of a shutdown because these idiots can't come together and put forth a budget. How about this? You don't get to try to impeach anybody until you finish your homework.
I would heartily back that.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Workers in Baltimore have begun cutting the collapsed Key Bridge into pieces and moving out tons of debris. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
It has to be done because that is the only way to get into most of the port of Baltimore. And of course, it's important not just to the people and the workers of Baltimore, but to our national supply chains.
Heavy rain is making the cleanup tougher today. A large storm system that triggered weekend flooding in California is headed east. Weather Channel meteorologist Molly McCollum.
We'll see more snow in the Sierra, and it's really going to pile up in places like Yellowstone National Park.
Fast food workers begin earning minimum wages of $20 an hour today in California, the highest amount in the country. Cal State Bakersfield econ professor Aaron Hegde says it could affect customers.
Average cost at a fast food place might go higher to compensate for the higher wages.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Peace groups say they're disappointed by the budget Congress passed for fiscal year 2024. It includes cuts to humanitarian aid and support for civilians caught in violent conflicts.
any violent conflict that's making headlines today, there are UCP groups that are working and very effective, have access that other traditional aid groups don't, are equipping and protecting civilians that often go overlooked and disproportionately feel the effects of this violent conflict.
Megan Rogers is with the group Nonviolent Peace Force. Donald Trump supporters in southeast Wisconsin are trying again to get a recall election against Republican State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Recall organizers filed the paperwork Thursday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers beat the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers completing a three-game sweep of the Mets with a 4-1 win in New York. RBI doubles from William Contreras and rookie Jackson Churio. Solid pitching from the bullpen and starter Colin Ray getting the win.
Ray, Hudson, and Piamps were flawless today, and Colin really worked through a big situation there. I don't know, the fourth maybe. I mean, the kid has been the unsung hero. He really has, and he threw a 5 great innings for us, and then Hudson went out there, and he was a rock.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy, the season home opener tomorrow against the Twins. NBA, the Bucks head to D.C. to play the Wizards tomorrow night. Guard Patrick Beverley talked about his decision to keep playing, even though doctors say he needs surgery on his right wrist.
I don't know. I got the news after the, something about a torn ligament. I felt okay. Obviously, you got to listen to doctors, so he contacted a hand specialist. Specialist said you got a torn ligament. She kind of shocked me for a minute. Threw me off. No way I was sitting out getting surgery. I'm gonna play through it.
That's the Bucks' Pat Beverley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Cloudy today, becoming breezy with some scattered rain developing by late this afternoon. Our high today, 44, with wind northeast at around 5 to 15, increasing to 15 to 25 by late this afternoon. Tonight, scattered rain, low of 36. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain likely and a high near 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you hear? A beloved Racine tradition is celebrating 50 years and will be bigger and better than ever in 2024. It's Salmon-O-Rama. The annual July event is moving back to the festival hall grounds for this year's special occasion. Organizers say there will be unique festivities to commemorate the anniversary of Salmon-O-Rama, including fireworks, music, food with a focus on Wisconsin traditions like cheese curds, and with more event space, additional activities and attractions throughout the 10-day celebration. This is also a big part of the city's goal to attract more people and activities to downtown Racine. Save the dates, July 12th through the 21st. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr. Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network believe awareness can make a difference during any season or any storm. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
We're springing into what's typically severe weather season. After some big swings with tornadoes and fire dangers during the winter, this is a good time to remind you to review your safety plan and show it off as a part of a Safe Place Selfie Day. First, what are your local weather worries? Tornadoes, flooding, wildfires? Second, where is your safe place from any of those weather hazards? Your basement or a shelter? Now, go take a selfie in one of your safe locations. Post it to social media, including hashtag Safe Place Selfie Day on Wednesday, April 3rd. It's a fun way to emphasize the seriousness of being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are acquitted. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Like a grand slam on your radio dial. Home of the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Key.
Connecting producers and consumers one story at a time. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Yeah, connecting the dots this morning. Can you imagine a winter like this with no snow? Imagine all of the businesses in the North Woods that were dependent on that snow for snowmobilers, skiers, ice fishermen. Zero as far as revenue. Is there a lifeline available to those seasonally dependent businesses? Stephanie Hoff's on the way with a conversation with Melissa Hughes from Wisconsin's Economic Development Corporation focused in on that. And I know that you're anxious to try to get something started with your garden, but it is only the first day of April. You might want to tap the brakes. Charity Seebecker learned all about the do's and don'ts with Lisa Johnson, Dane County Extension Horticulture Specialist. That conversation on the way. I'm Pam Youngke. So glad that you're starting the month of April with us. It is going to be a soggy start to the month of April. We've got rain at the front part of this week and temperatures probably only in the mid to upper 40s. It'll warm up later this week. It is the first day of April. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1939, the University of Wisconsin hosted and won its first NCAA boxing championship. Crowd of 15,000 at the UW Fieldhouse. Happened on this day back in 1939. On this day in 1970, the Milwaukee Brewers were founded, formed by Alan Bud Selig and Edmund Fitzgerald. They got the Seattle Pilots franchise. The team was renamed the Milwaukee Brewers, a tribute to the city's long association with the brewing industry. Happened on this day in 1970. On this day in 1976, Apple Incorporated was founded. And a happy birthday to Allie McGraw. Remember her love story? Well, she's 84 years young today. And news commentator Rachel Maddow, she is celebrating her 50th birthday. And now you know. Well, like I said, I want you to know there are a lot of businesses that have been frustrated and are struggling to try to get by minus snow. Now, you may think about locally, maybe the folks that you depended on to, you know, clean out your driveway or make sure the parking lot was clear. They suffered. But imagine all the businesses in the North Woods that depended on snow for snowmobiling, skiing, ice fishing, and the visitors that bring their cash to those businesses. Well, they're definitely out of luck this year. Are they out of luck when it comes to financial assistance to get by? Stephanie Hoff joins us with an update.
The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is helping businesses get lined up with these disaster loans. Secretary and CEO Missy Hughes says any snow that does end up falling in Wisconsin from here on out is really too late to make any of a difference. She gives us the damage report.
We know it's in the millions of dollars. For example, we've heard one ski resort in Ion County was estimating its revenue was down more than $700,000. And another in Cable was down more than $1 million. So the ski resorts have taken a real hit. But, you know, of course, we've seen other types of businesses that are suffering, whether it's hotels or motels or restaurants or snowmobile repair shops. It's really all across the board.
Businesses that are directly impacted by no snow, but then I was surprised that of the indirect impact too, businesses that rely on that winter tourism aspect.
You don't think about how many people are involved in the snow industry and the snow tourism industry, right? Hotels and motels restaurants, but also snowmobile repair shops, short-term rentals, fuel sales, beer and liquor distributors, food distributors. So it really has a very definitive and difficult ripple effect.
Keep in mind, too, would you say a lot of these businesses are in rural Wisconsin?
Yes, these are, by and large, you know, northern Wisconsin is almost entirely rural. So we've been seeing effects all over the state, but really in these rural communities, you know, where there's one or two restaurants and there's one or two snowmobile shops, the communities have really been impacted. And they've been working really hard to support each other. You know, they have locals going to the restaurants and doing everything they can, but it's not necessarily replacing that tourism dollar that comes from out of state or other parts of the state.
And thank you, Secretary, for painting the picture for us before we get into the news that the Wisconsin businesses that we talked about may be eligible for federal disaster loans if they suffered losses due to the unusually mild winter. How can they take advantage of this opportunity?
So what we've been able to do is we've been able to work with the Small Business Administration, the SBA, and they have opened up a program for federal disaster loans for businesses that have suffered losses due to a lack of precipitation, which is what this is. You know, typically we think about it in terms of farming context when it comes to a drought, but even non-farm businesses are able to apply for low interest loans. These are up to $2 million and, you know, they're very favorable for the person doing the borrowing. And folks can go to sba.gov/disaster for more information about the particularities of it. But we've got 65 counties, I think, at last count in Wisconsin that are eligible, 65 out of our 72. You keep hoping that there's snow. You keep hoping that there's snow. And then, you know, finally your revenue is just so far down that you're really in trouble. So sba.gov/disaster is the prime place to go for information about this.
Do businesses have to justify the loss of income here? Because if it's a ski resort, that's one thing. But if it's a restaurant or a hotel, that may be trickier, right?
The SBA is prepared. They've done this economic impact disaster loan in many other places. So they're prepared to be able to help the applicant look at their balance sheets, look at their financials, and be able to determine whether or not, you know, they can show the revenue loss that is needed. But, you know, we know that there are some businesses that are going to be impacted into the summer because, you know, even purchases and things like that that we thought were going to carry through won't happen. So, for example, we've got a business that a resort had ordered 5 new pontoon boats for the summer. But because of what's happening in the winter, they said, we're not going to order those. And now that pontoon boat maker has lost that, you know, that order. So they can go and talk with the SBA and determine whether or not that is something they can receive funding for. A lot of businesses also, you know, at times like this, they max out their credit cards. They take higher interest loans from their banks. The SBA loan is an opportunity to refinance those loans and maybe refinance some pre-existing loans into this really low interest rate. And that's, I think, one of the most attractive reasons for businesses to look into it.
The deadline to apply for these disaster loans is July 31st for all but one eligible county. Buffalo County businesses have until April 29th. Missy Hughes joining us. She's the secretary and CEO of the state's Economic Development Corporation. She encourages businesses impacted by low snow levels to reach out to their office if you have any questions about eligibility or how to apply. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is Mike.
Hey.
He's getting a quick haircut at the local barber school.
It's only $5. How bad can it?
Oh! Yikes. Don't be like Mike when it comes to weed control. Get the job done right the first time and plan ahead with Status Herbicide. It delivers elite corn safety and reliable performance, so you don't have to deal with more problems than you bargained for.
No.
Status Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back. I'm Pam Yonke. Stand by. Charity Seebecker is going to be joining us, visiting with Lisa Johnson. She's a Dane County Extension horticulture specialist to give a little encouragement to you gardeners that are getting anxious and how you might review the supplies you've got on hand from last year. Stick around for that chat.
Well, we'll chat tomorrow with John Heinberg about last week's prospective planting report. It revealed that corn growers are going to have fewer numbers to work with this year. Chad Myers got more.
The prospective plantings report shows farmers will increase their soybean acres this year. Betty Resnick, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the report should be bullish for the price of corn.
Corn's going to see a reduction of 4.9% of acres compared to last year, down to 90 million acres, which is below industry expectations headed in the report. Soybean acres are going to see an increase from last year, up 3.5%. Wheat will decrease, and then we're also going to see cotton increase, in addition to some changes in other crops. One major finding that caught my eye was that there's a decrease in overall principal crop acreage, a reduction of 6.3 million acres or 2%.
Resnick says the increase in soybean acres is due to current economic conditions.
So that increase in soybean acres was kind of expected going into this report. In a time of declining prices, farmers are really turning to soybeans as they are a lower input, less risky crop overall. So they make sense in a time of price uncertainty.
This report is the first of many that will help tell the story of crop conditions over the course of the growing season.
Crop progress reports are starting back up, and those will be released weekly. On June 28th, we'll get the next acreage report, which when they'll survey farmers to get an understanding of what they actually were able to put into the ground this spring. And between now and then, of course, we'll have our monthly WASDE reports as well.
Chad Smith, Washington.
Thanks, Chad. And those numbers that Betty Resnick, economist from the American Farm Bureau Federation, shared really reflect Wisconsin farmers' intentions, too. Last week, we found out that Wisconsin farmers expect to plant 200,000 fewer acres of corn this year, but 90,000 acres more of soybeans. Farmers are also expected to harvest about 1.08 million acres of dry hay in Wisconsin. That's 50,000 acres more than last year, and we expect to plant 60,000 more acres of oats this spring. So like we said, Wisconsin farmers and their plans definitely mimic what we're seeing on the national scene. Well, on Thursday in Chicago, we saw barrel cheese gain 0.75 cents to 142¾. 40-pound block cheese, that was up a penny at 141¾. The AA butter, 0.25 cents higher on Thursday, 284¼ per pound. Remember, markets back in action officially on this, the first day of April. Coming up next, gardeners, we hear you. We know you want to get started with something in the great outdoors. You've been watching your crocus, your daffodils come through the soil surface, and you're anxious? Well, be careful. Charity Seebecker's got a conversation with Lisa Johnson, Dane County Extension horticulturist, on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your home for the Bucks. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you hear? A beloved Racine tradition is celebrating 50 years and will be bigger and better than ever in 2024. It's Salmon-O-Rama. The annual July event is moving back to the festival hall grounds for this year's special occasion. Organizers say there will be unique festivities to commemorate the anniversary of Salmon-O-Rama, including fireworks, music, food with a focus on Wisconsin traditions like cheese curds, and with more event space, additional activities and attractions throughout the 10-day celebration. This is also a big part of the city's goal to attract more people and activities to downtown Racine. Save the dates, July 12th through the 21st. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Earl Ingram.
So let's talk a little bit about what public education did
to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
And on the Civic Media app.
That are excited about the early season opportunities when it comes to their garden. But there's some do's and don'ts that still have to be respected on this, the first day of April. Charity Seebecker brings us a couple guidelines with the help of Lisa Johnson from Dane County Extension.
As spring arrives, many homeowners are eagerly anticipating the opportunity to get their hands dirty in the garden. As you look for new flower or vegetable seeds you want to plant this year, take a moment to also look at the seeds that you might still have from previous years. Those could possibly still be viable. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Lisa Johnson is the Extension Horticulture Specialist, and she says there's actually a very easy way to find out if your old seeds are still usable. It's called the seed roll test.
What you do is you take 10 seeds from the packet that you're testing, and you get a paper towel, and you wet it up. You don't want it dripping wet, but you want it definitely moist, and then you line your 10 seeds up on it, and you make it into a roll. Then you put it in a Ziploc bag. You don't totally seal it. And what you do then is look in your packet and see how long it says that particular type of seed is supposed to take to germinate. And then you leave it for that amount of time, checking every once in a while to make sure that the paper towel isn't drying out. And then let's say that it's 7 days. So then you unroll it and you see how many have germinated. So because you use 10, you can extrapolate that into a percentage. So if 7 of them germinated, you have a 70% germination rate. If 3 of them germinated, you might say, I think I want to go out and get fresh seed. But in general, you know, anywhere from 50 to 90 or 100% is great.
What are some key things that gardeners should be looking at when they're trying to decide, okay, do I use these leftover seeds I still have, or do I go out and buy new ones?
So the germination percentage is certainly, I think, the major consideration for that. There might be some other considerations that you might think about, like is there an improved variety or a disease-resistant variety that you want to try instead? Of course, viability decreases with age. There are some seeds that are pretty viable up to 5 years, but there are some, like onions, that are pretty much only reliably good for germinating for a year.
So I'm a gardener. I've got my seeds. I'm ready to plant. What kind of tips do you have to really successfully even start those seeds, especially if they have maybe been stored for a long time?
Let's assume that you've done your seed roll test and you've decided that you're going to go ahead and do this. You need to make sure that the environment is proper for starting those seeds. If you have seeds that need a long germination period, like peppers or tomatoes, those need to be started inside. But there are others that you can direct seed outside, like peas and beans and all of the root crops. So that would be like carrots and parsnips and turnips and those kinds of things. But again, you need to make sure that the temperature is appropriate. And the soil temperature is just as important or more important than the air temperature. So I do have a chart that I use that is helpful in determining what's the minimum range for germination, what's the maximum, and what's the optimum. And you can use a soil thermometer. They're pretty inexpensive, and you can get those in order to check and see what your soil temperature is at planting depth. And that's a really important thing, because if it's too cold, the seeds might rot, or they might just sit there and sulk for a while.
With the kind of mild winter we've had, when is the best time then to start some seeds, or take me through kind of that process?
There is kind of a timetable that we use in typical years. Now, usually tomatoes should be planted about the 15th or 20th of May. You can put peppers out about the same time, but you need to make sure that the air temperature for those two crops is not going to be any lower than 55 degrees.
How about some of those starter plant packs you go through? Kind of started already. Take me through kind of when you should be getting those.
A lot of the local vendors will start offering things before it is appropriate to plant them. Like, for example, Mother's Day is a huge, you know, sales weekend, and a lot of people will buy tomatoes and peppers and, you know, maybe even like melons or something like that that have been started, but they should not be put outside yet. So when the vendors are offering those plants a little bit early, it doesn't mean that you can't buy them, and it doesn't mean that you can't put them out during the day if the temperature is going to be 55 degrees or more. But you need to bring them back inside.
That was Lisa Johnson, the Extension Horticulture Specialist, along with us. So whether or not you've got that green thumb, these tips can help. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Originally the home of the Milwaukee Braves, now your home for the Milwaukee Brewers.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
A proposed tweak to the Farm Bill to aid the farm transition process. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
There was a provision in the 2018 Farm Bill to establish a Commission on Farm Transitions, though the commission was never set up, and the current Farm Bill under consideration doesn't even have the provision anymore. Colorado Congresswoman Yadira Caraveo is one of four ag state members of Congress introducing a bill to correct that.
There is a lot of angst around that, and I think a lot of it is because so much agricultural land is held by people over the age of 65. About 40% of land is owned by individuals in that age range, and so that means that in the coming decades, we're going to be transferring more than 370 million acres of farmland.
Caraveo says farm transition is not a simple process, and this bill would establish a route to assistance.
We're tasking it with taking a look at several different issues around the transition of farmland, including the availability of land, making sure that there's infrastructure and credit and management tools to do that, that we're looking at how assets are transferred and whether we can improve that, that we're looking at incentives really to make sure that we're transferring from one generation to another and whether our tax policies make sense when we're looking at those kinds of transitions.
A similar measure has also been introduced in the Senate. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Monday on Matt Nair On Air, we talked to a Wisconsinite who says he will no longer support the former president, and we learn what we can do to help the monarchs. Join us.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. John. You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.